day I was watching Game of Thrones with my friend, I started having panic attacks because I was in debt by $100,000. I had just come out of the university. The closest I came to depression was that moment. The Airbnb app makes me about $50,000 every single month.
What are some of the mistakes you did in your first business that you learned from in the Airbnb business?
So with my first business, I prioritized.
Is that the reason why a lot of people fail in their first venture?
Yes, I think that absolutely.
Uncle Kwame lives in London. He's worked all his life. Mm. He's got a 7-bedroom house somewhere in Wager. He spent the last 15 years building that property. Is it an asset or a liability?
It's
What if I told you that the man you're about to meet was drowning in $100,000 of debt, but today pulls in $50,000 a month, traveling the world, running a thriving Airbnb empire, and training others to escape the paycheck to paycheck cycle? This isn't luck. This isn't a scam. This is strategy, and he's here to show you how to do the same. Welcome to a conversation that could change your financial future forever.
Your revenue and your income, they are two different things. An understanding of what your income is going to change your financial life. Because if you make $1 million and you spend $1 million, you haven't done anything. You are a financially illiterate person. It is not every single thing that you can afford that you should buy. If you drive a Toyota Corolla, even though you can afford a Benz, that is financial wisdom.
What are some of the businesses that people can do when they are moving to Ghana?
Okay. So,
welcome to Connected Minds Podcast.
Thank you.
My name is Derek Abaite. And I love the fact that you guys take the time to listen to this conversation. And the growth that we've had wouldn't have been possible without your support and you sharing it to family and friends. You see, the best way to grow podcasts is word of mouth. So please carry on sharing the good word. Today's conversation is with Adnan Sani Dangote. Now, this man is a financial coach. He teaches a lot of financial literacy. And I'm 100% sure that after this conversation, you will be blessed. So stay with me. Let's get started. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm blessed. You are doing an amazing job.
Thank you very much.
Yesterday, I spent about 4 hours just digging through to find out exactly where this whole thing started and where you've gotten to now. But for me, I think the future for you is orange. You know, it's.
Thank you very much. I'm flattered.
Yeah, but how are you doing?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good. We thank God.
Yeah.
We are doing our best.
Yeah. This is where I want to start from.
Mm.
In 2017, you owed $100,000. How did you come out of that?
This is a part of my life that every time I talk about it, I become very emotional because I started a business. And I decided to involve other people because, like, as naive as I was, I decided that I was going to involve other people, took investment from people and invested, and I got hugely, you know, indebted. And that was when I started learning about money, learning about financial literacy, learning about things I could do to get out of that. So when I started applying it, I started doing things, and I was lucky at that time. I found out about Airbnb when a lot of people didn't know about it. And now that a lot of people know about it, I have gained mastery. So the advantage that I had was that I went into a growing industry at the time. So we started, you know, getting a lot of apartments. We're investing in Airbnb, doing a lot of things. But it's, of course, I've always said that if the Airbnb business was the first business that we started, we would have failed. But
why?
The reason we would have failed is that because before the Airbnb business, I had done other businesses and I kind of carried the knowledge that I had in those businesses into the Airbnb business. So it is not the Airbnb business as such, because anybody who has tried Airbnb will tell you that even if you have one apartment to become a super host, it is difficult. I've done it with 70 apartments, right? And it's because of the knowledge in other businesses that we have kind of carried into this business. So that was actually how I got out of 100,000.
That's very interesting. Is that the reason why a lot of people fail in their first venture?
Yes, I think that absolutely. 50% of businesses fail within the next within 5 years. 50%. It means that every business that you are seeing right now, within the next five years, only half of them is going to remain, right? So a lot of people, when they start a business, you don't know. It's just like you starting to drive. You've never been to an auto call or something. It becomes really difficult, okay, to start your first business. When you start your first business, it becomes difficult to succeed because it's your first business. You are experimenting. You are doing things. So with a first business, it's usually very, very hard. So you have to continue learning.
So what are some of the mistakes you did in your first business that you learned from in the Airbnb business?
So with my first business, I kind of prioritized just investing, okay? I was just investing and I didn't actually pay attention to the safety of my capital, right? So my investment journey, my business journey kind of started when I read The Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It was the very first book that I read. So I had understood that everything that brought money into my pocket was an asset. Everything that takes money out of my pocket is a liability. Based on this understanding, I started a business. So I was there. If you came to me and I said, and if you came to me and you said, okay, listen, give me your money. I'm going to give you, let's say, $100 at the end of every month. I see you as an asset because you are going to give me money at the end of every month. But I didn't pay attention to the fact that you take my money doesn't mean that my money is safe with you. It means there's a chance I can lose the money I have given to you and I can lose the interest on it, right? So all of this naivety in business, that was what I carried into business. You know, so one thing I learned was that every business now that I get myself involved in, I make sure that my capital is safe. I make sure that every business that I do, I pay more attention to businesses where people pay me. Before I offer the service.
Wow.
Compared to businesses where I offer the service before people pay me. Because that is how you get bankrupt, right? But if you have a business, payment comes upfront. And then if you're an ethical businessman, then you take it from there and you kind of offer the service to the person. With that one, you are more likely to succeed as a business person. So a lot of lessons with that business.
You've learned a lot. Exactly. And I can tell you've learned a lot.
Exactly.
You know, so you went from making some really bad mistakes. Then, you know, you pick yourself up through the Airbnb business that you had.
Yeah.
I'm sure you still have that.
Yes.
Okay. Most of the time, some of the things you talk about is financial literacy.
Yeah.
What is that?
So financial literacy, I'm going to try to give you an explanation that you are going to understand and your viewers are going to understand once and for all. Because of course you can look it up in the dictionary. But a lot of people, the concept sounds like a very complicated thing. Now, financial literacy, in its essence, I want to make it very simple for Africans to understand. Simply is that it is not every single thing that you can afford that you should buy. And I'm going to explain it with, let's say, your mode of transport, your car that you drive, whatever mode of transport that you use. Now, if you drive a Toyota Corolla, even though you can afford a Benz, that is financial wisdom. If you drive a Toyota Corolla, because that is the maximum that you can afford, that is a financial mistake. Because in the world of financial literacy, you don't cut your coat according to your size. Often your coat has to be smaller. It means that whatever position you find yourself financially, whatever action that you are going to take should be below your financial capacity. And a lot of people, and financial literacy, you don't have to understand every single thing about financial literacy. Only one concept, if you understand, eventually you're going to understand everything about financial literacy. And that is an income. Often we make a mistake between what revenue and income is, and you can Google it, it's not the same thing. Your revenue and your income, they are two different things. An understanding of what your income is going to change your financial life. Your revenue, and I don't know, because I'm fasting, I would have used a bottle of water to explain this. Your
Revenue is everything that you make within the month. Your income is what is left after what you have consumed. For you to become a rich person, you have to have an income. It means that what you make within the month, you are actually supposed to spend less than what you make within the month. Whatever is left is the income. A lot of people think the income is your savings. Your income is not your savings. Your income is your savings or not, depending on what you decide to do with it. It means that if I decide to keep my income in cash, it becomes savings. If I decide to invest it, it becomes an investment. If I decide to spend it, it is stupidity. That's why we don't even go there. Your income, what you do with your... So for me, an understanding of what an income is what is going to change your life. Imagine if you fix a monthly target that for the rest of your life, you are going to increase your income. The rest of your life, you are going to increase your income. Every single month, do you know where it is going? Your income, not your revenue. Because if you make $1 million and you spend $1 million, you haven't done anything. You are a financially illiterate person. It is what you keep. And your dedication to increasing that income, that is what is going to decide your financial life. That income. And I can tell you that if you dedicate your life the next 5 years to increasing your life, one prediction I'm going to make is that you are going to understand every single thing about financial literacy. Every single thing. Because that is, in the world of financial literacy, it is like the God of financial literacy. Every other thing is around an income. Every other lesson around financial literacy is around what you do with your income. Do you invest it? Do you save it? Do you spend it? And when you start monitoring your income, your first instinct as a person is that you are going to want to say that, okay, I'm going to spend less than I make. So I have to save. I have to spend less, right? With time, you realize that it is not something that is dependable because there's only an amount, there's only a limit to the amount of money that you can save. It gets to a time you are thinking of how to make more. So the rule is not spend less than you make. The rule actually is make more than you spend. It doesn't matter how much you spend. Spend $1 million if you want. Spend whatever you want. At the end of the month, have you made more than you have spent? So an understanding of an income, if you understand what an income truly is, then you understand everything that you need to know about financial literacy. Everything comes naturally.
Victor makes $1,000 every month. That's what comes in. How can he appropriate that money so that he has solid income?
So I talk about something called an allocation, an asset allocation. And for me, I typically don't talk about savings as much. I talk about just allocating your assets and deciding that, let's say, I'm going to keep 10% of everything that I make in cash or everything that I'm worth in cash. That one is much better than for somebody who has, because everybody, you need to know your net worth. Whatever you are worth, you can keep 10% of it in cash. Of course, as you continue to make money, because it's going to be huge numbers, then you can reduce that percentage because you don't need that much cash around. So instead of actually, because when you say that you are going to save, it discourages you somehow.